Yes, Phoenix FM with me, Bob Simpson. And today on 1-2-3, we'll be talking about mental health issues in adolescents and young people. Now, Carol Finney is a cognitive behavioural therapist from CBT Services Brentwood at the Brentwood Clinic in Shenfield Road. And Carol joins me now. Welcome, Carol.
Good morning. Nice to see you again. Thank you.
And you'll be visiting us regularly, won't you, Carol? We're going to have a regular monthly feature talking about various mental health issues, and today with the current generation of 20-somethings that seem to be facing a unique crisis, worries about finding a job or achieving academically, the lack of financial security, the isolation that social media can bring, combined with the pressure on doctors' surgeries and cutbacks in mental health services, seems to mean that the number of young people suffering with anxiety and depression seem to be growing. Does your experience as a cognitive behavioural therapist reflect that, Carol?
Certainly, at the moment, I'm seeing some younger people, and I think part of that pressure is because many of them are now getting ready to either start or go back to university. And again, it's a considerable change in their life, you know, leaving home from what they know to something that's going to be quite different.
Yeah, and it does say there's a lot of pressure on them to succeed, isn't there?
There is. I think it's a pressure that maybe society puts on them and other people also.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned the pressure on doctors' surgeries and cutbacks in mental health services. With possible long waits for talking therapies on the NHS, do you think it's accurate to say that it's easier to get a prescription these days rather than access to talking therapies?
I don't think that's so.
No?
I do think that there is help out there, both in the voluntary and in the NHS for young people and adolescents. But I think doctors are in a very difficult position. I think if they're faced with a person who needs help, they may well give them a prescription, but I think they will also try and will attempt to get them help as well.
Right.
And one of our local helps is if people are under 18, they can approach South Essex Partnership Trust for their CAM service, or else they can refer to the IAP service, which is called Therapy for You, to get short-term help. But I think certainly the GP is the first port of call, but I don't necessarily think they will come away with medication. They may well do. It does help some people, but it's not for everyone.
Right. Do you think GPs are better equipped nowadays to deal with mental health issues? There have been some sort of horror stories in the past.
Well, I do think, I think GPs are very well trained. They're certainly often the person that a person's ill should go to first of all, and the GP, if they don't know, they certainly will know someone to ask. So I've got a lot of confidence in GPs in this area.
Right, excellent. Well, for those that could afford it, there are private counselling services around, such as your own CBT services in Brentwood. In general terms, what sort of cases do you see that involve young people?
I think most of the people that I would see, because they tend to be 18 plus, they tend to be people with a general anxiety, possibly some phobias, maybe with difficulty with touching or washing things, or also maybe meeting people can be a difficulty, and presentation problems can be difficult, particularly if they're getting ready to go to university.
Yeah.
But as you say, there are also in this area therapists who will deal with people who are under 18. I think it's also important to remember that people with learning disability also have mental health problems, and they also can be very overlooked, and that's certainly an area that I do deal with and I'm happy to look into more so for people.
Right. I read one alarming statistic the other day that the number of admissions to A&E departments for self-harming has risen by 68% over the last 10 years. And Marjorie Wallace, the chief executive of the charity SANE, has described this as the age of desperation. Is it really that bad?
Well, certainly the self-harm does seem to have increased. I think what we have to say that it's not just a behaviour of young people nowadays. We're getting much more aware that older people do it as well.
Right.
Also that people do feel desperate, I think. And I think part of that is that they don't always know where to go to or don't have the skills to manage the pressure that they're under.
Right, right. So what do you think are the main causes of people's problems at the moment? Does it vary a lot, or is there sort of one underlying issue that seems to affect a lot of people?
I think something you've already touched on is people's expectations, either of on themselves or others. themselves. Right. Social media does put a lot of pressure on teenagers, and there does seem to be, and I'm glad there's an awareness now of bullying, how it can, what it can do to people.
Yeah.
And also the media, I think, has something, a part to play in that as well, needs to be aware of that.
Yeah, it's been the case for quite a while. I heard someone say something about Facebook the other day, and probably it applies to all social media, really. It's a method of telling everybody that my life's better than yours. And it can make people feel sort of inadequate if they're not living this great life that everybody else seems to be doing.
I think that's absolutely true. We always assume that other people's lives are better than ours. And of course, that's not always the case. And maybe it's about, you know, how do we get people to a place where they say, well, what I've got is just enough and it will just do me.
Yeah.
And we do seem to be a very consumable society.
Yeah. Well, you know, this all sounds very bleak, really, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. Effective treatments are available. With the right help, many young people do very well. The start point, once you recognise you've got a problem, for most people, will be the GP. I think also, though, it's also recognising that you've got a problem. So it's very difficult, really, to... I mean, I can only talk from my own personal experience, really. It can be very frightening when you don't know or understand what's happening to you. You feel peculiar, and you don't really know what's happening. Now, a therapist can identify and explain why you're feeling that way, but you've got to get to the therapist.
Absolutely,
haven't you?
Yes.
So, you know, if something like this is going on in a family, what would you advise people?
Well, I think if a family recognises it, then I think that's a really good start, because we all know what it can be, you know, being an adolescent or adult, that often, you know, they can seem maybe grumpy or irritable. But I think there's other things. If we're concerned maybe they're depressed or anxious, is to ask them to look and see, maybe they're not enjoying things as usual. What is the sleep and appetite like?
Right.
You know, and really get them to look at the behaviours and how they compare now. If you're at all concerned, if a person said to you, I don't feel mum, I want to live, I'm unhappy, take it seriously and get them to the GP.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're not on your own. There are organisations such as the Young Minds, the Samaritans, SANE, who can help, and we can put these numbers and websites on.
Oh, yes, certainly. We'll put it on the Phoenix FM website later, a selection.
Thank you.
So, I mean, there's various routes you can take. Obviously, there's drugs, there's talking therapies. How can talking therapies help?
I think, first of all, the main thing is the word is talking. It's to kind of get out in the open, I think, to recognise as a problem, to get a diagnosis and to try and understand that. Support groups and therapists can make you feel, you know, that you're not on your own, because you almost can be too scared to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's also one of these things that society doesn't have a positive attitude towards mental health. And hopefully, even just by coming on this show, which I'm really grateful for, chips away at it.
Absolutely. Well, it's something that's close to my heart, and we do work at chipping away at it, yeah. We've kind of touched on this already, but from a parent's point of view, if you've no experience of mental illness, what are the signs to look out for to help you assess whether your child may be having problems? I mean, you just mentioned if your child says to you, I don't want to live, and, you know, that's pretty obvious.
Yes.
But are there other signs that you can look out for?
I think the things I'd be looking for are maybe things like persistently low mood, you know, maybe not wanting to get out of bed for quite long periods, not really getting pleasure or that ability to enjoy pleasure, you know, with their friends or family, with their hobbies.
Yeah.
And looking at physical things, maybe they're kind of neglecting themselves more than usual, you know, maybe they're smoking more. You might be thinking, well, are they drinking alcohol, and be concerned about them. They don't have periods where maybe they feel quite lifted.
Right.
You know, and I think you really ask them, you know, how do they feel? You know, what do they think is wrong? To try and, you know, recognise that you recognise that in them something isn't right and you want to help them.
Right, yeah. It must be difficult as a therapist when a young person comes to you to actually sort of break the ice and get them to open up. Is that, obviously that's why you're an expert in it, but, you know, there's strategies for you to do that.
Yes, well, I wouldn't say I was an expert, but thank you.
Okay.
But certainly I think it's about trying to get a person to feel comfortable,
yeah,
and trying to talk in a way which they understand. I also say I do have a daughter of 19, so I do appreciate, I mean, just being a parent is difficult. So what must it be like for them when they're not well and they really need somebody to kind of talk and help them?
Yeah, and I don't suppose you can put a figure on it, but what do you feel the success rate is of what you do? Do you get a feeling for sort of how successful it's CBT that you
yes.
use, isn't it? You know, does everyone go away having benefits from it, do you think?
I would say the majority of people go away benefiting. They might not always be 100% well, but they may be able to cope and have developed skills.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all that some people want.
Right, where you've been able to bring them to a place where they can start
to... Yeah, so I would say it would be about 85%, if not a bit higher.
Brilliant.
But CBT is a therapy that when you learn it, you have to keep it up. And it's like all of us, who hasn't not finished a course of antibiotics?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's something, if you learn it, to keep it up and just maybe keep dipping back to try and help your mental well-being.
Yes, excellent. Well, thanks very much, Carol. I hope that's been of some help to anyone suffering at the moment. I think the key thing for anyone is not to suffer alone. You're not the only one who feels like that, and it's fine to ask for help. Tell someone close to you, see a GP or seek counselling or help from one of the many fine charities that can help with mental health issues. We've got a very good one of our own here in Brentwood. You can get in touch with Brentwood Mind. You can call them on 01277 234 246. Help is out there and it does work. Perhaps you could give us some contact details for your clinic, Carol, if anyone would like to get in touch with you.
Yes, I certainly will. My email address is thebrentwoodtherapist@gmail.com and my contact number is 077 66 906 246. And just to finish, I would say if you're at all concerned, please contact someone who can help you talk with this area.
Absolutely excellent. And you'll be back with us next month on Phoenix. What's the subject for October, Carol?
In October it's Mental Health Day on the 10th, but we'll be actually talking about loss and bereavement.
Okay, right. Lovely. All right, Carol Finney, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next month.
We'll do.